Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Derek, we're ready to start the show, so I'm going to make the initial announcements, and then we'll go from there. Okay. Welcome, everyone, to the Hope Talk Radio Show, sponsored by Optimize My Life and the Hope Collection. And my name is Bob Oakley, and I'm your host today. I usually host the show on Thursdays. And then I fill in whenever anybody needs help, and they do the same for me. Whenever I need help, they fill in. So I'm happy that you all are here, and I expect a couple of guests to come on. I have one guest already, my friend Derek from Tennessee, and we'll be talking in a few minutes. But we're going to be talking about family values today. And things that all of us practice in our lives, and how we help people, and how we help families, how we help individuals, and the motto of the Hope Collection is helping people by helping them to help other people, and that's what we do, and we do it in a manner that. We don't ask anybody to do anything. What we do is we ask you to, if you wish to tell us what it is that you'd like us to help you with, and then we work in that area. We have access to counseling and access to coaches. And access to many, many programs that can help people, like housing programs and education programs and certification programs and health and wellness programs and just many, many more. Those are just some examples. And I see we have another guest has come on. Welcome, Mary. How are you today?
Good. How about you? I'm glad you're not having the issues I had yesterday.
Oh, you had a good time yesterday?
No, well, I couldn't log. We couldn't connect at all on the radio show yesterday. I couldn't get anyone off mute. Just the system just locked completely up.
Wow. Well, you know, sometimes those technical...
Right?
What did you do?
Okay. Not drop my phone on the floor?
Well, you got to do what you got to do, you know. Whatever you think works, just go ahead and do it. Sometimes the technology is really frustrates us, you know. So it's great when it's working, but when it's not... It's really frustrating, but anyway, I'm glad you got through it. And so, how are you doing today? And how's your family?
Doing really good. We are getting ready for Halloween, and we are finishing up, getting ready for the cold and the snow.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Don't even talk about it. I'm not a winter person. I used to be when I was younger. I used to go out and tromp around in the snow and make snowmen and ride sleighs. We used to do a very dangerous thing with our sleighs. We'd go out in the woods. There was this one big hill out in the woods, and we would sleigh down through the swirling back and forth through the trees, and it was very, very dangerous, but we did it anyway, and none of us got hurt, thank God. So,
you know, we were just talking about that. Back when we were kids, all the dumb things we did that were, our parents never knew about till after the fact. And how
yeah,
we were
I know,
so lucky to survive.
Yep, yep. My my grandmother watched us three boys for about 4 years or 5 years, I guess maybe, when my parents were both working, and they worked and they stayed in St. Louis, Missouri during the weekday, and then they came home on weekends. But we used to sneak out and do things all the time from Grandma, and yeah, I laugh about it now, but it was really she was very, very frustrated, very, very worried about us all the time. One of the neighbors had a little lake on his farm, and it wasn't far to walk to get over there and jump in the lake and go swimming, you know. And we used to do that all the time, and she did not want us to do that, but so we snuck out and did it anyway. Like you said, when we're younger, kids do a lot of things that they shouldn't do, you know. And so anyway, it's very important, and I know you know this from your work and your things that you're doing with your children. It's very important to teach them the right values, and to be honest with us is one of the important values, and to work together with us if they can. You know, I mean, if they have the ability to help us, then to help us. And my parents were very good at that, especially my mom, and she was always always teaching us the right things to do, and to treat people with kindness. And I know that goes along with Len Cain's kindness campaign. But she was always promoting that, and my dad would always say to us, if you don't have anything good to say about somebody, don't say anything about them. Just, you know, just be quiet." And so we would do that also.
Every time you say that, or anyone says that, I always go back to the Bambi and Thumper getting in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, we would get in trouble all the time, us boys. You know, it was pretty some of the things we did. I just don't even want to mention all of them because some people think I'm a great guy, but I had a history of things that I did wrong when I was younger.
You know, me and my husband talked about that, you know. He tried the drugs and stuff like that when he was a kid. And I never did, ever. I never had the need or want to. But when, you know what, so when I have a reference point, I don't have that reference point. I can say don't do it because it's bad, it's wrong, it'll mess you up. But I don't have that experience. And you doing all that stuff when you were a kid gave you that reference point to help guide your kids into the right path because you've lived it and done it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That was the other point I was going to make. That what we learn when we're younger, and we learn the good things and the bad things and the mistakes that we make, we try to help our kids not to do that, not to get into those kinds of mistakes. But ultimately, it's their decision what they do. You know what I mean? All we can do is do our best and then commit the rest to the Lord. And that's basically how we operated, my wife and I, in our family, because I know my parents went through a lot with us three boys, and so I didn't want my children to have to go through that, but they did. Some of them made mistakes, so we would just let them know that we loved them, that we always loved them, and that we would help them in any way they needed help, you know. And that's about all we can do. We can pray for them. We can offer them to help, and we can be good listeners and show them that we love them. And that's so important with all of our children. I believe love is the answer. And the more we give our children love, the more they appreciate us, and the more that they pay attention to what we say and they listen to what we're saying, because we're saying it with love to help them. And that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, Mary?
It does. And not just giving them love, but showing them love, giving them hugs and attention.
Not just sitting there saying
that I love you and ignoring them the rest of the time.
Yep. Well, you know, my mom and dad, I told you about those four or five years that my grandmother watched us boys out on the farm. And, but we, when they were gone, we really missed them. But when they came back, they always spent time with us and tried to bring us things that we would be happy to get. And they made a big sacrifice to do that because they didn't have a vehicle at that time because we were very poor. So they walked almost 4 miles on a Sunday evening to catch a bus into St. Louis. And then on Monday morning, they caught the bus, and on Sunday they came back. I'm sorry, on Friday they came back, and on Sunday they left again. So, but they did that as a sacrifice for us because what they were doing it is they were earning money to pay for the farm that we had. And to pay off the money that they owed on the farm, and mom and dad paid off that farm and in that time frame, so we didn't understand everything, but we did tried to understand that was the reason why they were doing it, you know, and they could get work in St. Louis, whereas they couldn't get work out in the country where we were, because there were not that many jobs available. And so that's why they did it. But then later on, mom and dad both got jobs in the area, and dad did some farming on the farm in his spare time, and he worked full time as a mechanic. And he didn't have any training in being a mechanic, but he did a very good job of it because he wasn't afraid to take something apart and then fix it and put it back together again. He was very good at that, very mechanically inclined. And I learned a lot from him with that. And it seemed like other projects that he did, like we built a garage together. My older brother and him and I, we built a two-car garage on the farm. And we put electricity in it. We had to run the cable underground. And Dad wired it. And he was not an electrician, but he learned how to do it. I don't know. Today, I still don't know how he did all the stuff that he did. And Mom was the same way. They were not afraid to take on new things. And I think that taught us a good lesson. Don't be afraid to get involved in something new, as long as it's the right thing, as long as it's legal. Don't be afraid to get involved, and part of that is helping people, and we stress that they stress that to us, and we stressed it to our children. Don't be afraid to get out and help people, and to offer them help if they need it, and that's what we do in the Hope Collection, helping people by helping them to help other people. So I think that that is a good tradition for any family to hand down to their children and their grandchildren. And in my case, I have a big number of them. up to 11 children now, and I guess getting close to 35 grandchildren. And I just heard recently that one of my children is she's pregnant, and also one of my grandchildren is pregnant. So there's more. It's not over with yet. They're still coming, you know. God is still blessing us. So anyway, Is that Kurt on the line with us?
Yes, it is. Kurt, yes, it is, Bob. How are you doing today?
Oh, we're doing great. We're doing off the charts.
Good.
on the top part of the chart, not the bottom. And what's on your mind today, Kurt?
I just came in, and I just want to say I was raised with a very loving family too.
Like most
people have. But we were mostly raised by I was actually raised by two sets of parents, my grandparents and my parents. Today you have to realize that you have to show love to your children. I did all the time when my children were growing up. I always hugged them, always told them I love them, and it really helped them form into a really young and respectful adults because they know what love is. And that's what Hope Collection is all about. We have to. To the Hope Collection, we show help, we show love and support to anybody
Absolutely.
Who needs it.
Right. Love and kindness is very important.
Yes.
And I agree with that completely. And I know Mary does too, right, Mary?
Definitely, and it's unconditional love. So if you screw up, you screw up. It's not a big deal.
Right.
Yep. You know, Jesus gives us unconditional love, and we have a responsibility to give that out to other people, you know. And I tell my wife that all the time. I say, you know, I love you unconditionally, and I know we both have faults, but we both overlook some of those faults, you know, and we try to move on to the next phase. And that's very important to show love not only to the children but to your spouses as well. And I have been divorced and I am remarried and very, very happily married with my wife who's from South America, Colombia, South America, and she is the best woman I've ever met in my life, and I thank God for her every day. Because she is such a loving woman, and a very good Christian, and a very good family oriented person also, so it's to me that's all I can ask for from God with a woman, someone that loves me and supports me, and someone that I love and support her. And it makes for a good family situation if you have that going on. I want to say one thing about my mom and dad's family. My mom was a very strong woman. She was German, mostly German, and she was a very strong German woman. And my dad was half Irish and half Scotch. And like many of the Scotch people, he had a drinking problem, and he was an alcoholic. And when he was drinking, he was not a nice person. When he was sober, which he was sober most of the time, but he was one of the best people in the world. He would do anything for us, and he would do anything for other people that needed help. And I think I learned from him that. To be willing to help and serve your family and as well as serve other people, and my mom, she was always serving. We would have people come and visit us on the farm, and she would start cooking. She'd say, "Okay, now I'm gonna prepare a meal for us all," and every time somebody would come, she was cooking a meal, and She was always there doing that, and always taking care of us boys, and taking care of Dad, and taking care of the house, and then she went out and did jobs on outside of the house also. So both of my parents taught me, to have a good work ethic, and to be very responsive to other people's needs, including our siblings. So those were some of the things that I think the values that are important in families. And Kurt, you mentioned some of them, and Mary, you mentioned some of them also. And if you guys want to just chime in here, go right ahead.
Well, when I was growing up, and I'm not here to bash my father. My father was an alcoholic. He actually worked for AT&T. He was the vice president of AT&T of a regional district, VP. Anyway, he never gave me attention as I was growing up, but I brought my attention to my grandfather. I saw him more of a father figure than my father. And I'm not saying that in an easy way, but you tend to go towards somebody who has strength. And that's what I did. And I just, my grandfather showed me how to grow up, showed me the proper way of being a gentleman, proper way of being, you know, what your life was all about. And I gained a lot of knowledge from my grandfather. But, you know, my mom was very lovable. She loved us all. And she showed us Christ. She used to read the Bible to us at night sometimes. And or even take us to Bible study, or not Bible study, church every Sunday. That's where I learned about, you know, that's when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was a kid. But what I'm trying to say is that when we grew up, we had a very strong family value that was brought on by our parents' family values back in the 20s and 30s. Nowadays, there's no family value at all. The kids just run rampant.
But that's not true, Kurt.
Don?
That's not true.
Okay.
Well, you know, your family values are what you're born and raised with and what you're taught.
Right.
It's not that it doesn't exist anymore. It's just that people are not feeling that anymore. Right. We have to re-bring back what we remember and what we want. We're not sharing the family stories like we used to. You know, instance, I know where I came from. I know where my family came from. I know the story of how my family came over here from Germany and came over here from Ireland right before World War One.
Yep.
And then the other one came over from Ireland during the potato famine. But like my husband's family, they have no idea when their family came over here. And my mother-in-law's, instead of actually trying to figure out the story and talking to family and stuff like that, she just does a little bit of research and then fills in the blanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We need to go back and talk about our family and our histories and talk about where we came from so that our kids know where we came from. You know, when you say the family value's dead, that's a blanket statement. I mean, you know, you look at my house and my kids, my daughter just developed a program the same time Len Cain was developing a program. And she's 8.
Yep. You know, I wrote an autobiography many years ago, a number of years ago, maybe about 10, 15 years ago. And I shared it with all the family members, because I agree completely with what you're saying, Mary, is that we need to share the experiences of the family and share a little bit, a lot of history about the family. And I believe that same way about our country. We need to share the history of our country with our children and our grandchildren, because it's just so important to know about that, so that that's our foundation. You know, that's the foundation for all of us, our family values, our family history, and our country values and our country's history. It's so important that that we keep sharing that over and over and over again. I don't care what the politicians say. I will share the truth with anybody that wants to hear it. You know, whether it's one of my family members or whether it's a friend or whoever it is, I will share the truth with them, because the truth will set you free.
All right.
My family values for my kids. I do. Especially my son, he's always interested in what my father did over in Vietnam. And I told him he flew with, you know, helicopters.
You're not in a hurry.
Cargo mission. And I tell my daughter about my grandparents and how they were raised, where they were from. I do share a lot of family value, a lot of family history of my kids and anybody who wants to know about it. I'm doing a lot of research for my family right now, and I'm finding a lot of interesting stuff about it.
Yeah, I couldn't even get nothing on my phone.
We had two lieutenants in the Revolutionary War.
Hey, Kurt.
Hi, Derek. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, I know. How you doing?
I've been doing good. You disappeared for a while. What happened?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Derek's kind of a silent member.
he comes on
and he sits back and listens and learns. Right, Derek?
Yeah.
That's cool.
The one thing that I'm thankful for
is my children's school. So the first day of school, they talk and they teach the Pledge of Allegiance, they teach the anthem, and they teach about the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But what they teach is not all the controversial stuff. They literally sit there and explain to the children, and they start in kindergarten, they do it all the way to 12th grade, that when you honor your country, you're not honoring the politicians and all the misconceptions and all the beliefs that go along with whatever's in the news at the time. You are literally honoring the ground you live on, the soil that was fought for by our forefathers and the beliefs
And we're also honoring God. We're honoring God when we honor our country, because he's the one that gave it to us, and he's the one that put us there in this country. So we're honoring him also at the same time.
Yeah.
It's very important, Barry. I'm glad you said that and brought that up. Thank you.
You know, people talk about how bad this country is, but it's not the country that's bad, it's the people in the country. So when you start, you know, people like Kurt, you generalize everything. You know, police are bad, firemen are bad, military are bad. It's not that everybody's bad, it's just you've got groups of people that talk louder that are bad. And you have to have, the good voices need to start talking louder.
Yeah. A good example of that is the current talking about how bad we were because we had slaves in this country. But slavery didn't start in this country. Slavery started in Africa, and they sent they had leaders in Africa that sold the people to other people that wanted to use them for slaves, and they even arranged to have
Except
them shipped
for...
to those countries, you know.
But what we don't talk about is the Irish and the Jews were slaves before the blacks, and the Irish were just as much slaves as the blacks.
Yeah, yeah. And
you know, we don't talk about all the different histories. We only talk about one little group.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people today working in a business as an employee, I call them slaves also, because they are a slave to the business owner, and they do they have to be there at a certain time, and they have to do a certain amount of work, which I believe is okay to expect those things. But they do it, and they're very unhappy. Many of them are very unhappy with their job, and they still come there, and they do it every day, over and over and over and over again. And that's sort of insanity if you think about it. You know, if they get in such a rut with their habits, and whether they like what they're doing or not, they just continue to do it. And I say there are ways to change those habits. And you just a person just has to be willing to do it, and that's an area that I believe is important also in the family, is teaching family members how to change things if they're unhappy, and that's why a lot of things happen today in our society, because people are unhappy with their life, and are unhappy with what they're doing, and but they haven't taken
life.
Yes, that's right, Derek. And they haven't taken the time to change, and the effort that it takes to change. And that doesn't take a whole lot of effort. You can change any habit in 7 days, worker. You know. Go ahead.
On the Wednesday radio show, that's what we've really been focusing on, is self-awareness and how to understand yourself. And not judge yourself, but understand how you feel and your self-esteem and what's going on in your body and your mind so that you can make those changes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's so, so very important. There's a famous author, Dr. Shad Helmstead. And Dr. Helmstead, he talks about self-talk, how important that is to all of us. And how if you can use self-talk to change any habit you have in your life, you know, to change your life, as a matter of fact. If you're overweight and you want to lose weight, tell yourself every day that you're going to lose weight, that you're trim and fit and fiddle, and you will be doing it. Your subconscious forces you to do it once you keep telling yourself it. So, that's so important for people to have good self-confidence and understand that God is certainly in control, but he gives us the ability to do things, and he gives us the ability to make decisions. I'm so happy that he's done that for us, you know. So we can decide to be. I always told my children that too. You can decide to be and do whatever you want to do. You have to make the decision, and then you have to work for it. You know, if you want to be a doctor, you have to make the decision that you're going to be a doctor. If you want to be an attorney, you have to make the decision that you want to do that, and then do what's necessary to make it happen. And if you want to be a scientist, you have to do the same thing. If you want to be a statistical analysis analyst, you have to decide what you're going to do and do it. And I name those particular professions because I have children that have every one of those in those professions.
And they took a lot of work to get to those points.
Absolutely, it took a lot of work. And it took a lot of decisions, just small decisions. Things don't happen generally from big decisions. They happen from small decisions that we make every single day. One of my daughters is an attorney, but she wanted to be an attorney. I don't know how old she was, but she was probably 7 or 8 years old, and she wanted to be an attorney, you know, from that point. I have an attorney who is a very good friend of mine, and she knew him, and she talked to him a number of times when she was real young, and she made the decision she wanted to be an attorney. and she did it. You know, it took her three times to pass. Took her three times to pass the bar exam, but she made it. Go ahead, Kurt. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't interrupt my niece. Always, when she was a child, always played teacher. And she always had her doll set up like a classroom, and she had a chalkboard, and she was the teacher of their doll. And now she's the teacher in elementary school. So, you know, you bring your want into reality, actually. And that's what she did.
What I do with my clients. When they're stuck and they're trying to figure out that next avenue in life, and I went through that when I left the military, because when I was in the Army, that was my life. That was my plan. I had no plan B. My goal was to retire.
You know,
with my clients, I do the same thing. What did you like to do when you were a kid? What did you play? Did you play doctor? Did you play nurse? You know, and some of these people are like, well, you know, I don't have the money or the time. Well, then you help figure out a profession in that area. You know, for me it was I like helping people, so I became a coach.
And a lot of times, sometimes when my children and people that I coach also, they might say, well, I would like to do such and such, but they I don't know how to get started. I say, well, find somebody in that field. If it's a doctor, go to a doctor's office and ask him if you can work in his office, his or her office, and find out if you're going to really like that. And you can learn while you're doing that. You can learn things that'll help you when you go to college. And so I've done that with many of my young friends and family members, and it works. Sometimes they find out that that's not really what they want to do. I went to school for electrical engineering. That was my first degree that I got in college. And I worked in that for a couple of years, and I decided, I don't like this. I want to do something else. But then I went back to college for a degree in business, to become a business owner and work in business. So that's what I've been doing ever since, you know. And I love working with people. I love that when I was in management at AT&T for many years, and I was continually working with people and continually recognizing their accomplishments, because I think that's very important too, not only with the family members but also with people you're working with, recognizing their accomplishments, because that helps them to want to do more and help them to accomplish more and helping other people. So those are just some things that are on my mind today. I didn't prepare anything to talk about today, but just my mind is bouncing around here.
Well, you know, that's where I like, you know, Trump started bringing back the apprenticeship program for people who couldn't go to college and didn't quite know what to do with their life, so they could work in a field, get paid in the field, but also get trained in that field, you know, construction, electrical, all those other deals.
So that
they could figure out if they liked it or not before they spent all that time in it and get stuck.
My father was I think I said he could do just about anything that he put his mind to, but he was doing farming on our farm, and he was not a farmer. He was not raised as a farmer. He picked it up on his own by doing it, learned by doing it, so that's another thing that he taught us, is if you want to accomplish something, just go try it, and you'll find out that you can do it. And
that's how my husband learned the construction field. Was his dad ended up being a real estate agent, and he'd get houses, and he'd teach his son how to help fix them.
Yep.
And now he runs his own business doing it, and then he also works with other people fixing houses. except for our own.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
You know the saying, your house is the last one to get fixed.
That's true.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Hello. This is Buchanan. I like that topic, but let me say something. Mary said something about when you have a dream as a child, but when you look at the economics, the money, and the job opportunity, and you see a single mom trying to raise her kids in an environment that's unsustained, that it's kind of hard for a child just to dodge bullets, abuse, resentment, fear. For that child have to have a stable environment for that child to grow up, to be healthy, to make the decision. And
yep.
America, which I love to death, but America and some of our politicians, and I'm not talking anything bad about them, it's just when it's time to vote, they don't come into the community like they should and see what's going on in the community. The rent is high.
Yep.
They don't, people that come here from different parts of the world that buy a lot of real estate property here. See, people don't know the truth because they only go by what they something. So when people come over here from different countries where their money can't be traced and buy all these property, and they don't put a cap on that for a person to live in a good environment. The rent is so high here in Atlanta, just like New York. And you got a group of people making decisions where you got the House Authority putting people in some of the worst areas. You got too many people making decisions for people. And their chances of surviving, their chances of being in prison, and their chance of making the
yep.
wrong decision is what's going on. And
yep.
then to top
yep.
it off, Africa slaves was done by British. See, a lot of people don't know their history, and they only go by what they think or what they read. But when you go in deep, deep, you'll find out that Africans came from kings and queens. The Protestant or BK started, British, started slave. Then when Caucasian became free, they finished it here in the United States. The Indian was the main source of this country. And see, when people
yep.
look at the past, they got to look at their history of what's been done to them and who they are as a person, where they came from. You cannot go far in life unless you know where you came from. You people
yep.
are trying to adapt to other civilizations with other people to become something that they're not. And then you have a education, board education here, limit kids because they spend too many time trying to break up fights.
Yep.
So you don't have a – and you have board education has certain rules, guidelines, to prohibit the teacher to take complete control of the classroom and make a face over what she feels. She has to sign a clause and say, I can't say this. I can't do this. So you got too many people saying that I want to change America, but they know what the problem is. The problem always been there. Now, in the 70s and 60s, ambitious. They worked together, whether they liked each other or not. If the separation
yep.
is still here because people dictating and taking all the resources here in the United States, where we can make anything we want, but we were to go
That's
off
right.
and depends on every country for our resource, and you got a bunch of politicians and people not being honest and tell people that the food don't ran out, the resource don't ran out, and so you're not being honest with people, but you put it on television and you put it in the radio and you put it, you hide it, and people are now waking up that they're not stupid anymore. They're not sleep anymore. So now they're aware of what's going on, and they get to a point in their life where they see the truth that I've been lied to for so long, who I am and where I came from. And I don't know my identity, so I'm trying to adapt to what I see on television to become that person, this person, and I'm not comfortable with who I am. So I don't have
yep.
nothing but low self-esteem, because I'm trying to adapt to a world that really don't accept me because I don't accept myself. So this is what's going on in America. And people don't want to talk about it. And, you know, and people want to brush it under the rug until people deal with the issue. Martin Luther King said that. Until people deal with the issue and stop analyzing the issue, stop hiding the issue, and come to people and be honest with people, then that could solve a lot of problems here. The guns don't deal
here
in the United States in the hood. It comes through black market. The drugs don't get here, so black folks don't have all those billions of dollars that people saying and going over there in Cuba and getting the dope and bringing it here. The dope comes from black market to sanitize these neighborhoods, to tell people we're going to put the dope there because we're going to keep y'all fighting amongst each other who's going to be the biggest kingpin, which that's an illusion. And then you got the DA doing the Fed work, making sure that people go to prison. And you got a whole civilization of people are lost, are gone. On what? Greed and money. So this is what this is about. It's about greed and money. It's about who has the power and who makes the decision. And then they sit there and they, whether you're Republican or Democrat, no disrespect, they all work together. They get out there in front of people and tell people these good old lies and come and get a free meal. They already know the game to get people to vote for them.
Yep. Yep, that's right. That's absolutely right. Amen to all that. You're right on. Right on.
But Joe, this is why you have the voice to do what you do, and where I'm going to work with you and teach you how to do what you do better so that you can be in those neighborhoods and talk to those people and help those kids at the bottom level to make that change that you want to see and that we need to see.
And it's true, Mary, but the fear comes in when you have a family and when you become a leader and when you bring the truth out. You have to separate yourself and to choose that any given time there's going to be a bullet that's going to come at you. And that's just keeping it real. Every great leader knows this.
True.
But you have to get in touch with your humanity or who you are, because you know once you bring the truth out, you already created a lot of enemies. You already created a lot of problems because people don't want to hear the truth. So when you go into the community and change the community, you got to get to a point in your life, are you comfortable, are you ready for people to dig all in your business? Are you ready? Because this is going to happen. This is not a fantasy. This is for real, for real. And when you have to, you not got to only think about yourself, you got to think about the people you love. And you got to think about the people who are going to portray you along that journey when you do this. This is why God has to completely come in your life, and many nights you're alone because you're not going to have too many friends.
Yep.
You know, and you're not going to have too many people supporting you, because your mission is to open the people's conscious mind. They want them to be asleep. So you got to realize when you take on that note, you got to be mentally, spiritually, completely surrender to God, because you know it's going to come at every angle.
That's
it's okay
right.
to go in the neighborhood and say it's okay to get a job. Let me show you, put a program in there and show you how to get a job. But when you start touching the economic and you start making noise when it comes to what the real truth at the top, not at the bottom, not in the middle, at the top, you already created a problem, because they listen to you. They check out my Facebook, my Instagram. So I'm aware of that. I'm not afraid of that, but I'm aware who I am and where I want to go. But at the same time, I don't want to lose my identity, and I don't want to lose my pride, who I am as a man, because I know that there are going to be some situations where I completely have to surrender to God, not my ego, because my ego will get me in trouble.
Yeah. We have to realize that we're not perfect beings, that we all make mistakes, and we all do things that are not the right things, but because the only perfect being that was ever on this earth was Jesus Christ, And so we have to all keep that in mind. But we do have a responsibility to do our very best to do what God wants us to do. And he says, love me and love my people and help them to do whatever they want to do, whatever their needs are, help them with that. So I think that's so important if we just keep that in mind all the time. And he also says, ask and you shall receive. If we think that we don't have the skills or whatever we need to do something, pray about it, and he will answer, because he's promised that, and he does. I can attest to that, because I pray all the time when I have situations in my life, and they are answered. They may not be always answered exactly as we want them to be answered, but they are answered, and it is resolved, whatever the issue is in my life. So I think that's so important also to understand that.
You know, you got to follow the path that's in front of you that God puts in front of you. Example for you, Joseph. You know, you ended up meeting country bumps. Country bumps put you in contact with me. There's your path.
Go ahead, Mary.
Mary,
go ahead. You know, I have been very fortunate that my path, unlike most people, has been black and white right in my face. You know, I got involved with the Hope Collection with all you guys based on a rant that I did on Facebook. Kurt saw it, and there was no reason for Kurt to even see it because we had nothing, no links. We had no friends in common. We had no group. We had nothing in common.
Nothing.
But he happened to see my rant.
Yep.
Asked me to do an interview on his show.
Yeah.
And from there, my path has been opened up wide.
Yep.
And that's why God wants
you to
come out of
your
comfort
zone. That's why I think it's so important to bring people to this show so that they can have the same experience, Mary, you know, to find out what we're all about and what we do and how we're helping people. I think that's so important.
I think that's important.
It's vital.
It is. The one thing, Bob, you emphasize on your show every week is that we all make mistakes. No one's perfect. But, you know, our mindset looks at our mistakes as weaknesses. Now, you need to take those weaknesses, those mistakes, and actually use them as a strength. Because you've made all these mistakes in life. You own those mistakes. You use them to strength of power. That gives you that avenue to talk to those people. I have been there. I have done this. I have pulled myself up. It was a struggle, but I have done it. And that gives you that power.
Been there, done that. Been there, done that.
Most people don't realize, you know, you have. Exactly.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, that makes so much sense. It really does. And it's people see we help people to open their eyes because they're so used to doing things in a certain way and so used to have habits that they've developed over their lives. And Joel Griffin used to always talk about rehabbing people's habits, and that's part of what we're doing. We're rehabbing people's habits because they do things because it's something they've always done. And they do it because they've always done it a certain way. And there is usually a better way. And we have to open up their eyes and help them to understand that there are better ways to do things. And serving people is one of the most important ways of having a better life, because it not only helps us, but it helps them those that we're serving also. So that's a very important aspect of this whole program, is serving other people and helping, like Derek said, and helping them to have a better life, because they want it. Most people want it, but they don't know how to get started, and they don't know what to do first and so forth. So that's where the role that we have is helping them to do that. Is getting moving in the right direction to help them. And to help them to help other people. Well, that's
it. And that's the biggest thing.
That's it. That's it. You're right. You hit that on the nose. That's right. Helping people to teach them, and they can go back and teach someone else.
Right.
You know, I've learned so much being a life coach. I've learned so much about people and ways to help them to move forward in their life, and it's really not our responsibility. It's not our responsibility to do it for them. It's our responsibility to point out to them and to recommend to them of areas where they can improve their life and to help them along the way. I've been working with people for many years, including my family members, and helping all of them to understand things and to have the right perspective on things and to look at life as an experience that we can improve not only our own lives but the whole society, the lives of everyone in our country. And we have a great opportunity coming up in November where we have the opportunity to vote the people that we think will help to make this a better country. And I encourage anyone that's listening, if they're registered to vote, to get out and vote. And if they're not registered yet, to get vote, because you can still get registered in most states. But get out and vote and let your voice be heard. Because that's very important to, if you don't like everything the way it's going, then you need to vote in somebody that will change it, help to change it. So that's very important. I've encouraged everyone in my family to do that, and many of my friends also, to get out and vote. And anybody that's a college student that hasn't been registered, I tell them, go get registered. You can get registered very easily, and then you can be part of the solution, not the problem. You can be part of the solution. So that's extremely important, I believe. I know, Mary, you and Kurt, you would agree with that 100%, right?
Oh yeah,
100%. You know, my whole viewpoint is that you can't complain about change if you don't do anything to change it.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
That is so true.
Absolutely right.
So true. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that as a Republican or a Democrat or a conservative or a liberal, whatever it is. I'm just saying it as someone who has experienced it over the years. And I've been voting since I was able to vote. My family encouraged me to do that. So I got registered as soon as I was of age, and I've been voting ever since then. May not always select the right candidate, but I do go out and do my civic duty of voting and encouraging others to do that also.
Well, you know, it's like that in the school systems too. You know, parents complain about their kids, what they're learning in school, but have you gone and talked to the principal? Have you talked to the school district? Have you talked to anybody about it, or you just sit at home and complain?
Yep.
You know, how do you fix something if you don't do something about it? Well, I tell
that's
my kids
right.
that all the time.
Yep, that's absolutely right. You have to be. You have to take action. It's not just talking about something, but it's taking action to change it if you don't think it's right. And you know, it's just like what's going on in the education system today, with what many of the educational institutions are teaching our children. I believe that a lot of things they're teaching our children are totally wrong. And they need to be changed. Well, a lot of parents are uprising because of that. They don't like the things that are going on, and they're getting out. And in many of the school boards, people are resigning from school board because they because of the people rebelling against them. You know, so that's how we make the change, Mary. Right?
Exactly. Hey, that's how my daughter started the Kindness Club.
Yep.
And she's
yep.
got it accepted in her school. because she spoke out about kids being mean, and she wanted to figure out a way to help kids not be mean.
Yep, yep. We're just about out of time, so I want to thank you guys for coming on and sharing with us. Great sharing we've had here today. And I think it was a good show, a great show, as a matter of fact. A lot of issues we talked about are things that are important in people's lives. And I want to thank you, Kurt, and you, Mary, and Derek for coming on. And the other guy, I can't remember what his name was that was talking.
Joseph.
Joseph?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. It was a good exchange, and I believe that the people that are listening on the internet have heard some things that they probably would agree with, and some of them heard some things that maybe they're going to change some things in their life because of it, and that's what we're all about. Anybody that wants to get onto the show, you can get on by dialing 714-816-4686. 714-816-4686. From 12 noon to midnight, 12 noon to 1 o'clock on Eastern Time.
Oh, midnight.
Yeah, 12 noon to midnight. That'd be a good show, right?
Wow.
I don't want that kind of show.
Oh my gosh.
Okay,
I
guys.
I can talk,
well,
but I can't talk that
much.
No.
Yeah. God bless you guys and your families. Okay. You
God
have
bless.
A great day. And God bless America. I'm signing off now. This is Bob Oakley, and I'm signing off. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.